As a homeowner, I can't help myself. I'm always thinking about fixing this and changing that. For the money, for the beauty, for the knowledge and the peace of mind. It's about time for the Love My Renovation Project with Mike Young.
Hey, welcome back. Glad to see you. Actually, I'm glad to be here. As I say, I'm glad to be anywhere in my condition. But if you want to be part of the show today, call us at 888-627-6008. I apologize to those who missed me the last couple weekends, but we had a near catastrophe. I was in the hospital, emergency ICU for over a week. We're just getting back on our feet. For this show, last week there was some interesting meetings at HUD. One of those meetings I got a call on because there seems to be a bunch of misinformation out there that's being spewed, and we need to get it corrected. What is the purpose of a consultant? So that's going to be our topic today. Just what does a consultant do for their money? There's a lot of consultants out there, more and more every week. If you're not getting the proper training, then you are not a consultant. So just because you wear the title doesn't make you equal. When you put consultants all in a basket, pull one out, you are not going to get the same result each time. And it's important that we all try to be closer to what the guidelines says we are supposed to do. I had a lender a couple weeks ago, contact me and ask me if I knew this particular consultant. I said no. And he said, well, all they did was go out to the property and create a scope of renovation, a scope of work, SOR. Just a list of the things that needed to be repaired. Nothing more, and not priced. You think that's a consultation? It's not. You're in direct violation of the HUD guideline. So when somebody calls you and asks for a consultation, they want you to go out to the property and make a property inspection. And that property inspection includes a written report of the existing condition of that property. Okay, you got to be sure there's no rodents, dry rot, termites, and other infestations on the property. That there's no defects that will affect the health and safety of the occupants. And that there's, exists adequate structural, heating, plumbing, electrical, and roofing systems. And there are upgrades to the structure's thermal protection when necessary. I'm talking about the insulation. So if you're dealing with a 100-year-old house and there's no insulation, that means you need to put insulation in that house. So it's important that if you're going to be a consultant that you know what you're doing. Years ago, I was helping a guy who had been approved as a consultant. He'd gone taken a class from my good friend Ross Atchison, and they trained him as a consultant. At the end of the class, the fellow walked up to Ross and said, Ross, I don't know how to consult. What does it mean? And the response then was, oh, you'll figure that out. Everybody figures that out on their own. Well, no, they don't. Some people need to be shown. They need to be shown exactly what they're supposed to do. In 1995, Ken Crandall with HUD was in charge of putting together consultants. He created consultants. I love it when someone says, I've been doing this for 40 years when they only created 24 years ago. But so it's interesting that Ken and I got together and I said, Ken, what is a consultant supposed to do? And his response kind of floored me. He said, well, we're going to let everybody do whatever they want to do. And as they get about a year down the road, we'll take a look at what everybody's doing, and then we'll create whatever it is that we want consultants to do. And that's really not the way I work. So I had 15 W-2 employees of mine that were now consultants because we saw the potential of the 203K in 1994. So as we started putting on these consultants in early 95, late 94, I had to come up with a work ethic, a work scope for the consultants. What is it you got to do to call yourself a consultant? They liked it so well that we were the first for-profit company ever put on a HUD website and more or less adopted what we had said. I'm sure that there was other people had input, but we got the input and we got the proof that we were one of the first for-profit companies ever put on a HUD website. And that's just the way we work. We want to teach you how to be a consultant, what to say, when to say it, what to do, when to do it. So your consultant duties are interesting. I'm reading right from the 4000.1 guideline, consultant duties. A consultant must perform the following duties in accordance with the requirements as set forth below. Number one, a feasibility study. Now, right away, the way they put it and right up there front, it sounds like you're going to have a feasibility study. But the next word says, if requested by the borrower or mortgagee to determine if a project is financially feasible, then they must provide or prepare a feasibility study. Right away, that unhooks the feasibility as a required portion of the 203K. It's no longer required, never has been required. Where do you use a feasibility? Well, a feasibility is a down and dirty, fast bid on a single family house. I'm in and out of the house in 30 minutes. All I'm looking for is what's broken, what needs to be fixed, and we make certain assumptions to get to that end. And then HUD requires or suggests a 20% contingency on a feasibility analysis. Remember, this is not required. So all you up there in Oregon and Washington panicked when some reviewer came in and said, where's your feasibility study on this, on these reports? I don't see one. Well, they were misinformed, and now they are telling us what to do. So I've had several people tell me, okay, we're gonna start doing feasibilities now on every 203K. Well, you can't just charge a fee for doing something that wasn't ordered. So don't do that. Not a good idea. Now, consultant inspections, it's important that you make and turn in an inspection report on the condition of the property when you saw it. This is a very simple report. Some people actually, on purchases, will try to upsell the borrowers to a full-blown home inspection. And if you want to do that, that's fine. But you must give them a full-blown home inspection, which typically is 25 to 50 pages, sometimes more, of what they saw, the condition of it, lots of photographs. But you don't have to, you're not allowed, how's that? You're not allowed to force them to buy a full home inspection. In 1994 or 5, maybe it was 1998, HUD in San Francisco had a meeting with their consultants and suggested that there were people who were charging for a feasibility and charging for a home inspection and charging for a consultation. And they informed us back then that you cannot do a consultation and charge for a home inspection. And that's when we showed them the difference between a home inspection and a 203K compliance inspection. Once we showed HUD that difference, they agreed that if we were upselling to a full home inspection, we could charge additionally for that. So you're not in any trouble if you do that. It's just important that if it's a refinance, they don't need a full home inspection. And shame on you if you're trying to charge and get a full home inspection. It's not necessary. Okay, getting back to the consultant inspections. The consultant must prepare a report on the current condition of the property that categorically examines the structure utilizing the 35-point checklist. Report must address any deficiencies that exist and certify the condition of all major systems, electric, plumbing, heating, roofing, and structural. A consultant must determine the repairs and improvements that are required to meet the Housing and Urban Development Minimum Property Standards or Minimum Property Requirements. And in addition to that, any local requirements that may be imposed. So, lordy, 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 you need to provide that report. So when you got an inspector turning in an SOR blank with no prices on it, has he fulfilled his obligation to make the property inspection? Who knows? He didn't put it in writing. Because he didn't put it in writing, he did not meet the requirement. So you need to put that in writing. So you're going to have at least a property inspection report. We found, and some of our users have found, that our app does that very well. You can take pictures, fill out your form, print it with or without the pictures, and it's sitting on your desk when you get back to the office to write the report. It goes with anybody's software. It does not require a particular software. It creates a PDF, which is merged with your other PDF report. There's a lot of confusion when we take architectural exhibits. Okay, architectural exhibits is any and all paperwork the consultant is creating. Any and all paperwork the consultant is creating for this project is considered part of the architectural exhibits. Now, everybody's pretty much in agreement of what a work write-up and cost estimate is. But not totally. A work write-up is an unbiased paper. The way we've set ours up for our trainees is the work write-up is a 2-3 page abbreviated or summary. The first section is what you saw when you went out there in a paragraph form. Very simple. I saw a ranch-style house with a concrete perimeter foundation. Windows were metal frame, casement type. Just give us a description of what you saw when you went out there. The roof appeared to have holes in it and is beyond its useful life. The windows are dated, but give us a brief paragraph of what it is you saw when you went out there. That's part of your work write-up. We also include a bunch of disclaimers in that section. about mold and so forth, lead-based paint. Our job is not to search for underground tanks. And there's another one in there that HUD requires you put in, and that is, if you're not doing a standard or full home inspection, you have to disclose the inspection you are doing is not a standard home inspection and therefore does not comply with home inspectors' processes. So if you're state licensed for a home inspector, they are typically not allowed to put prices to the repairs. And what we do is put prices to the repairs. That's what we do. So we're in direct violation of our home inspection code of ethics when we start putting prices to it, except in Florida, where they now allow that and encourage it. They may even require it. So anyway, time's flying when you're having fun. If you want to be part of our show, call in and talk to us at 888-627-6008. We'll be right back after a short break. Stay tuned.
.com. If you're having issues with your renovation project, we may be able to assist you. It's nice to know you have a knowledgeable person on your side. We recently had a client that had a lender telling them that the problem wasn't theirs, but it was the correspondent lender's. Ultimately, they agreed it was their problem and remedied the issue quickly. Most issues have been handled without a fee. Visit 203k911.com now. And let's fix your problems.
Hey, welcome back. Give us a call at 888-627-6008 if you want to be part of the show. You've got questions. You may be a consultant and you're wondering what I should be doing. That's what we're here for. There's a lot of consultants out there that take the same fee that some of us other ones take and don't do half the work. So that's not right. It's not fair to the client, and it's not fair to the program. You're going to damage the program if we don't do our job properly. So getting back to that work write-up, the first phase is what, or the first paragraph, what you saw when you went out there, and some disclaimers. The second major paragraph is what are you going to do to that property? In that section, we usually put, the first sentence says something like this. This is a standard FHA 203K project. During the course of construction, the roof will be replaced. All new floor coverings added. Home will be painted inside and out. All new windows, dual panes, low E, and so forth. Just a brief description of what you're doing to the house. Here, update the kitchen and bathrooms, then say that in that paragraph. When the appraiser is doing their appraisal, that's the first page they're going to look at, and they're going to get a rough idea of just how much updating is going on to this house. And the scope of work will give them a detail. It'll tell them exactly what kind of cabinets and how many lineal feet of cabinetry. Are there upper cabinets and lower cabinets? Just what's there and what kind of countertops. But the abbreviated portion on the work write-up gives them an overview. And then in the last section there is called a synopsis. In the synopsis, it tells you your allowable fees. Some people have decided to change HUD's name for this and call it an allowable fees disclosure or agreement. Lordy, lordy, everybody's got to have their own name to prove this is theirs, I guess. I don't know. So down the road after the construction starts, there's going to be some draw request inspections. The consultant must inspect the work for compliance and workmanship for each draw request. Draw requests are supposed to be every 30 days. It's the only way the lender knows that the project is progressing. It's actually moving forward. Anybody can call for a draw request. A contractor can call for it. The homeowner can call for it. And periodically, the lender, when they haven't seen a draw request over a period of time, and that 30 days has expired, now 60 days has expired, and nobody can get that inspection out there, then the lender may call for one, or the draw facilitator. Yeah. Trying to dual task here. Okay. So there's a lot of forms that HUD has thought through very well. It just hasn't told the right party. Work stoppages or deviations from the approved work write-up. The consultant must inform the mortgagee, that's the lender, if the progress of the rehabilitation and of any problems that arise, including work stoppages for more than 30 consecutive days, significant deviations from the work scope, any issues that could affect adherence to the program requirements, any issues that could affect the health and safety of the occupants. So all of these things should be reported by the consultant to their lender as they happen. Okay. So let's back up a little bit. Your work write-up, when you have your consultant visits the property, his job is to create a scope of work with the help of the borrower. Now, that scope of work has to have at least $5,000 in mandatory repairs. So if you had a gaping hole in the roof where it was totally shot, you're going to hit that $5,000 threshold rather quickly or rather easily. But somehow, if a house has just been renovated and your borrower is buying this house and it's just been fixed up, are you going to find $5,000 worth of must-do work? Well, you can if the kitchen hadn't been updated and now they want to update the kitchen, there's $5,000 easily. Hadn't updated two bathrooms, you can pick up $5,000 there pretty easily. So just pay attention to what you're doing and give it some thought beforehand. Now, if you're you're a consultant and you're walking out to the house, you're with the homeowner, and you see things that need to be fixed, that's automatically in your scope of work. The homeowner can add, after the $5,000, they can add other things. Maybe they want to, you called out fixing the roof because it had a gaping hole in it, but they want to fix the kitchen and upgrade the windows and put new floor coverings. All that's entirely possible. This project could run anywhere up to the amount of the county limit for that county. California, we see houses, county limits in Alameda, Contra Costa, Santa Clara, San Francisco counties, I believe it's $669,000 maximum loan amount. Well, average home prices, some of those areas is $850,000. So how can you even use a 203K on those? Well, it's simple. They don't have to pay cash for everything. They can finance $669,000 and some change, and then they just bring the cash to close for the difference, and that could be $300,000 or $400,000. So it's certainly possible. We see these happening all the time. I had an attorney in Woodside spending $1.55 million, and she wanted a 203K to do some other work. She was paying all of that down in cash. She just needed a loan to do the work that needed to be done. So there's all kinds of possibilities. There are people with money out there. I don't know if some of the other states have it, but if you're listening and you have a home that needs, and your credit, rather, is no good, for some reason or other, your credit has gone a pot and you have no credit, CalVet will loan you money if you'll put 30% down and not even worry about your credit. So there's lots of loan products out there that are available, particularly to veterans. So just recognize that if you need to talk about some of those. But 30% down is a magic number. Less than 1% of mortgages are foreclosed on where they put 30% down or more. So you get out there, your consultant walks through the place with the home buyer, and they're trying to determine what needs to be fixed, what has to be fixed, what must be fixed, and they come up with a scope of work. That is not the end of the consultant's job. That is the beginning. Now the consultant needs to put a bid to those numbers, put a bid to those items. So if he's going to put down that the roof needs to be replaced, that's not good enough. First off, does it have to be removed? There is a cost to removing the old roof down to the sheathing. There is a cost. He needs to figure out what that cost is and put it on his bid sheet. Now, secondly, there's a cost to put the new roof on. That's tar paper, shingles in that case, some cases. Tile roof, whatever kind of roofing is going to be there. He may have to put battens up there. It may be rolled roofing. Whatever it is, it has a cost. So the consultant's job is to specify, write a specification that explains exactly what they're going to be putting back up there. Okay, and how much it costs to do such a thing. I see bids coming across my desk all the time where a contractor provided the bid. And he says, well, I'm going to remodel a bathroom for $17,000. And I'm going to remodel the master bathroom for $19,000. And when he pinned him down, he says, well, that includes tearing out all the drywall, all the electrical, all the plumbing, putting all new. But he didn't say that in his bid. And when you're dealing with 203K consultants, you're up against the same problems, the exact same problems. Some of these consultants are very broad in their delineating the scope of work. So bathroom accessories is not bathroom walls, floors, fixtures. Bathroom accessories is toilet paper holders, shower doors possibly. It's towel bars. You're never going to spend $17,000 on towel bars and toilet paper holders. So the first red flag that comes up, this is part of what's been wrong with me for the last few weeks. Uncontrollable hiccups. I hope I don't start that. So, here we go. The inspector goes out, makes that call, gets the scope of work literally planned out. And now you got to put prices to it. If you don't know how to price a project, it's not because HUD didn't tell you how, because it does tell you exactly how. So anyway, we're running up against the clock. So please call us at 888-627-6008, toll free to be part of the show, and we'll be right back after a short break.
of becoming a 203K consultant? Contact us to see if you qualify. Home inspectors, contractors, architects, and engineers most likely qualify. Create an additional profit center using your existing knowledge base. For more information, visit 203ksoftware.com, and you'll be glad you did.
Hey, welcome back. This is Mike Young. If you want to be part of the show or have some specific questions you'd like to ask, feel free to call us at 888-627-6008 and be part of the show. It makes the show more interesting, certainly for me. I get bored just listening to me all the time. But it's fun to see comments from the sidelines. People might have a problem or something, and the fun part of consulting is that very, very few people talk about what it is to be a consultant. Very few train it. Some people train you with their fears involved. One of the gadgets that we have noticed lately is lenders keep saying they want the SOR and your work write-up and the contractor's bid all to match penny for penny. So what happens, about 2 to 3 years ago, my good friend at HUD in Santa Ana, which is the HOC, Hawk Home Ownership Center that I deal with, called me up knowing that I'm a trainer and just thought he'd put a bug in my ear. Did you understand that if HUD ever catches your bid and the contractor's bid matching penny for penny right down the wire, we will take you off the HUD list. You will be removed from the roster. And I thought, isn't that interesting? Because we all know that the lenders are bankers. And they like everything to match penny for penny. Well, it doesn't have to. And that's one of the reasons so many of these things are taking time to close, taking too long to close escrow, is because everybody's worried about meeting penny for penny. So that's an underwriter's mistake. It is against the HUD guideline, but it's a reality. If a lender tells you they must meet penny for penny, and HUD says they can't meet penny for penny, who do you believe? Because either one of them can remove you from their usage. HUD can take you off the roster. The lender can say, don't use that consultant because he doesn't meet it. Where it becomes wrong is when you have somebody saying, let's get the contractor bid first. Once we have the contractor bid, we'll just have the consultant match it. That is against the guideline. So how do you get around the qualification from the lender that says you have to match these numbers penny to penny and HUD's requirement that they cannot match penny for penny? Well, it's funny that one trainer says just get the contractor's bid and copy it. That's not this trainer. This trainer says, do it the way the guidelines states, and that is, do your independent bid. Once you have your independent bid, you are ready to go. Now, you, with our software, we punch a button and take the prices out and send that work scope out to be bid by the contractor. So the contractor now has a written scope of work, exactly like ours, where they put in their prices. Now, even if we're all using the same cost manual, which we should be using, then nobody's going to read it exactly the same. and you've got to you're going to be off a penny or two. You're going to be off a dollar or two. You're going to be off $50 or $100 or two. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's okay to be off a little bit. So the key is just save that. You've got your original bid done properly under the HUD guideline, and maybe it's $59,000 for this particular project. And then the contractor's bid comes in, and his bid comes in at $65,000. Well, now you have some negotiating. You can sit down and figure out, why are they so different? Where are they different? They are looking at one against the other, line item by line item, and you can spot where they're off rather quickly. When you do, you can talk to the contractor, say, why are you so high here? I remember years ago talking to a contractor. He told me that when he was out there, that the homeowner added a bunch of things to the scope when he did his walkthrough. And I said, well, do me a favor. Take those additional things, put them on a supplemental form, separate bid those separately. But bid my scope the way I ask you to bid my scope. And when he did that, our bids were within $500 of each other. $500, not $6,000. And then he had a separate bid for some other items that nobody else was bidding. When that contractor goes out to the bid to look, walk the property and see the things that need to be done, if he adds scope, he's adding dollars. And if the other contractors that go out bid the scope, then his bid is going to be high. He's not even going to have a chance at getting this job. So it's important that you bid the scope. And if when you're out there, your homeowner adds a few things, write it up separately. Make it an addendum. There may be reasons that those things weren't added originally. And those reasons may be that he doesn't qualify for more than what we have in there. So it's very important that we pay attention to the needs of the client. Years ago, I had one consultant went out to do a job. The job was about a $40,000 project. He came in so proud of himself. I talked him into some other repairs. We're sitting at just over $100,000. And I said, why did you do that? We have a budget of $40,000. Now you have to take away his dream as you knock the pegs out from under his dream and redo that part of this thing. So it's important that we adhere to all of the needs of the client, not just some of the needs, and never, ever the need to increase this thing. It is not, you know, our fees are well set by HUD, and if it's a $30,000 project or less, you're looking at $600. For us to bump that to $30,500 so we can pick up $100 fee doesn't make a lot of sense. That $100 is not going to make or break. The next jump is at $50,000. The project goes over $50,000, we'll pick up another $100. So it's best to find out all the facts before you start talking people up to a higher dollar amount. So now you've got out there, you've made your inspection, you've priced it, you've taken the prices out, you've sent it out for bid to the contractors. You have just complied with HUD's requirement of an independent bid. And that's the way it should go. Your bid is quite often completed within 3 to 4 days. Contractor can take up to 6 weeks, depending on the size of the project. contractor is going to bring subcontractors out to look at the various items they will do. The plumbing might be one subcontractor. The electric, the heating, all might be different contractors. Once he gets those in, he's going to put his markups, overhead and profit on there. And so forth. So in the meantime, we need to pay attention to what our job is. Some trainers want to say, get the contractor's bid first and copy it. That is totally going to put you at risk of losing your consultation roster number. It may only be for 6 months, but if that's the only way you can do it, you won't be able to price out a project. You need to price the project. It's imperative that you have that in that bid that is independent. And when the contractor's bid comes in and he's $50 higher or lower than you, I tell them, hey, if you want these to match, then the contractor's the one that's got to match it. We cannot match the contractor's bid. If you get caught doing that by HUD, you will lose your right to be a consultant. So just pay attention to that. Well, there's more than one way to accomplish the ends, and you don't have to violate the rules to accomplish it. We always maintain a first draft. We may end up with a second or third draft where they keep adding scope to our work. And then as the contractor finally hones his numbers, and we're all reading the same thing in that scope, your specifications have to be written in such a way that the contractor understands exactly what it is you're asking him to do. I had a contractor bid on a rehab I was doing in North Carolina years ago. I said, give me a bid for this house. And he said, okay, I'll repair this whole house for $68,000. And I said, well, where's your bid? He said, that's my bid. I said, well, how much of that's drywall? How much is roofing? Are you doing anything with the windows? He said, yeah, I'm going to rehab this house, $68,000. That's quite often a way a contractor will bid. Then you have the other contractor that says, I'll update the bathroom for $17,000. Is that a fact? What on earth can you do as far as bathroom accessories for $17,000? Are you using gold faucets? No, that includes the drywall, the paint, the hardy board, the tile, and all this stuff. I said, well, you have to break that down. A 203K consultation, a bid, is broken down in such a way that it reveals where padding is taking place. So if your contractor puts his whole bid together and he says, you know what, hon, how much is that vacation going to cost us? $3,500? Okay, no problem. Mike, I got to change my bid. I missed something. At $68,000 now, it's $71,500. So it's just not the way it's done. These bids need to be broken down in such a way that we can tell, that HUD can tell, that the consultant can tell, that everybody can tell exactly what we're getting. Can you say, I'll update that bathroom? I had a realtor who bought fixtures and resold them in San Pablo, California, and his idea of updated bathroom was to change the toilet. Well, I updated the bathroom. Or to change a vanity. I updated the bathroom. No, that's not updating the bathroom. That's changing the vanity or the toilet. To update that bathroom, you're taking the fixtures out. You're going to take it down. You're going to give me some new drywall. You're going to make sure there's no rot in the walls. You're going to put in new plumbing, electrical, DFIs. All this needs to be done to call it a renovated or updated bathroom. But, hey, be part of the show. Call us and help us here. Remember, I'm still recovering, so a little bit of help from the audience would be a good thing for the next few weeks as I recover. Call us at 888-627-6008. Toll free and be part of the show as we take our final break. We'll be back in just a minute.
We know which lenders are all talk and which ones can actually close your loans faster. You can depend on our consultants for the facts before you choose a lender. There are many lenders who will tell you they need 60 to 90 days to close a renovation loan. Those aren't the ones to choose. A 203K can close as fast as a 203B, unless the lender is trying to play all the possible positions on the field. The 203K is a team sport, and you should have the team members that know what to do. If your LO is constantly calling the consultant to see how is it going, you may want to reevaluate that member. Each member has a job. Let them perform their part while you perform yours. The countdown doesn't start until the lender gets your financial information. Visit 203K911.com. We know what to do.
Welcome back. This is Mike Young. Love my renovation project. We talk about all things with renovation. If you're having a problem with your renovations, you can give us a call or go onto our website at 203k911.com. Tell us about your problem, and we'll see if we can't help you with it. I'm just glancing over these notes. I don't want to forget anything today. So your consultant is going to turn in, as a minimum, a home type inspection, a property inspection, a 203K compliance inspection. As a minimum, that comes in. Secondly, a work write-up and scope of work with his prices before you get a contractor's bid. Thirdly, he's going to turn in a sample draw request form. We go the extra mile. Our software is set up to provide a bunch of lender paperwork that they're required to complete and turn in. We do it for them, saving them an hour to an hour and a half of time each time they do a 203K. So the more 203Ks you do with us, the more time you'll save. But there's 35 categories that HUD wants you to address. If you go, I think there's 22 now, but originally there was 16 categories by Construction Specification Institute. And they included all appurtenances as in one section, which is windows, openings, doors, windows, and the like. We have three sections. We have windows is a section on its own, exterior doors as a section, and interior doors as separate sections on the HUD list. I'm not going to go over those 35 categories. If you want to know what they are, you can get on to the HUD guideline, the 4000.1, and get in there about page 410 to 418, and you'll see all the different categories and the kind of things that you're supposed to talk about. I've always found it interesting that we have a section called floors, wood floors. And then we have a section called finished floors. under the wood floors originally, they tried to include hardwood flooring. Hardwood flooring is a finished floor. So consultants everywhere, they read the guidelines specifically. They want you to put flooring under wood flooring. They want it all under 23. Is that a fact? I don't believe so. I know the intent was finished flooring goes in 24. So I put finished flooring in 24. Under wood floors, everything from the mud sill to the subfloor is categorized as a wood floor. Now, bath accessories. The latest guide comes out and describes bath accessories work to be performed, such as replace the medicine cabinet in the bath, install towel bars, soap dishes, grab bars, and so forth. Note that it doesn't say drywall. It doesn't say electrical. It doesn't say hardy board or tile. Those have their own sections. Plumbing fixtures. Plumbing fixtures have an average cost per fixture. All right, so you've got a bathtub. The hookups to that bathtub is a fixture. You have a sink, maybe two. You have a toilet. Each of those has a cost. When you're building that house, we count the fixtures. And depending on what quality home you're building, the fixtures may be anywhere from $235 to $435 per fixture. And that includes running the pipes to that stop valves, for instance. So if you don't know how to bid a project, come and see me at the conference on October 3rd in Las Vegas and let me know. And we'll, if we get enough interest, we'll put a class up and show you how to price out these projects in advance so that you can get within the guideline you need as a consultant to price out your projects before and independently of getting a contractor's bid. Anything short of that, you've been wasted your money on your training. You need some better training, more in-depth. All right, so hang in there. It's not difficult to learn. We do a lot of bidding for contractors outside the 203K. That's always fun to do. It's more lucrative. You can actually make more money bidding for a contractor than you can bidding for hard on these 203Ks. So be aware, if you learn to do it right, you're setting yourself up for future greater income. If you're going to be working in this field, you need to do it right. So I can't tell you how important it is for you to learn to bid a job. Now, if you see me in the conference, I'll have some bidding books there with me, some cost estimators, and you can see just, we can walk you through the how to use them and see if we can help you get off on the right foot. I don't care where you took your training originally. We need to salvage the industry. And this industry has gone downhill rapidly over the last few years because people are trying to shortcut the system and make it smoother. They want to make more money at it, but it's got to be done according to the guidelines. Why do, when you've got a change order that needs to be made, something that wasn't in the scope of work, but has to be done, it's important that the homeowner and the contractor come to a meeting of the minds and then get it approved from the lender and your consultant. One of the reasons is the consultant needs to price that out. Typically, homeowners don't realize this, but contractors look at change orders when they're already on the job. They look at it as gold in their pocket. Your men are here, you're working, you've got an in on this, you've got this job. So even though it should be a $500 job, you know, you can knock that out for you for $995. You end up paying almost double in many cases for those items. So it's important that you get a bid and a detailed description of the work that's going to be done so your consultant can check it out and be sure that you're not being gouged. Most contractors don't gouge. Right. And some of them are on the higher price. I had a contractor tell me he had bid a job. I bid the job. I was at $289,000. He was at $479,000. And I said, what are you using for a cost guide? He said, I'm not the cheapest guy out there. Don't want to be. I priced myself just under the most expensive guy out there. And I said, well, I haven't met him yet. All I have met is you. We got the job done in much greater detail for $289,000 than he was going to do for $479,000. So, yeah, you don't need to get very many jobs a year at that kind of markup to do well. Apparently, what he did was he just took every subcontractor bid and put his markup on it twice. And if there's anything wrong, of course, he'd get that sub out there and make it right away. But anyway, I think we run up against the clock. Sorry I missed the last couple of weeks, but we had a near-death experience, and we're back on track. Look forward to talking with you soon. Give us a call next. Plan on talking to us next Sunday between 1 and 2. Help the old guy out here. You can reach us anytime next week at 888-627-6008. In the meantime, God bless you. See you next trip.
Tune in every Sunday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time to BBS Radio Station 1 and learn more about making home renovations possible, profitable, and hassle-free. Isn't it time you learned how to make money doing something you loved? Visit 203konline.com now and let's get your home makeover projects done right.